The Sports Cage on Demand is brought to you by the Canadian Brewhouse, with the best food and drink specials and the most TVs for your favorite sports.
Folks, that was vintage. Darian Durant to Jason Clairmont might have been the loudest I've ever heard Mosaic Stadium. Maybe one of the reasons for that, it was the first time I was on Rider Radio working the BC sidelines. That was an insane evening at Mosaic Stadium. Good afternoon, everyone. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening, thank you for tuning in to the Sports Cage, Saskatchewan's number one sports show. We are brought to you by Mako today. If you've had an uh-oh and want it perfect again, better get Mako. Mitchell Blair in the big chair. Rod Peterson, we'll hear from him in just moments. Your calls are always welcome. 936-6262, 1-866-767-0620. Prairie Mobile text line, 551-CKRM. Tomorrow night, the Saskatchewan Rough Riders and the Montreal Alouettes will kick it off, not just for their season, but the whole CFL season. They will get it underway at Percival Stadium, Molson Stadium in Montreal. And that's where we are going on the Wheat and Kia hotline to the man who's usually sitting in the chair I am in and the man that you will hear tomorrow calling the game with Luke Mullender, Rod Peterson. Rod, how are you?
I'm good, Scruffy. Happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday to you as well. What is new in the fine city of Montreal this afternoon?
A lot of excitement, to be honest with you, as much as both teams are kind of trying to downplay the bad blood that's going into this game tomorrow night. You can't hide it. I don't know, I couldn't say these two teams don't like each other very much, but we all know what the storylines are. And to be honest with you, my phone's blowing up with people that are going to be at the game or are on their way to the game. A lot of Rider friends here, a lot of ex-Riders that live out in this area that are coming to the football game. It's not sold out, which I can get into later on. I don't want to put a downer on this parade because it's an exciting time because it is the season opening game. There could be more hype around it, but these two teams are ready, that's for sure.
I want to ask you this. You know, around here, tomorrow is front page news. No matter who you're talking about, the Rider game is front page news. When you picked up the Montreal Gazette this morning, whereabouts are the Montreal Alouettes on the Montreal Gazette sports pages? Because I'm guessing with the NHL expansion draft tonight that the Habs take page one, or am I wrong?
Okay, Mitch, it's 2017. I didn't pick up a newspaper.
Okay, when you picked up your tablet.
I haven't picked up. Let's put it this way. I flipped on TSN in my hotel room as we go to air here, and what they're talking about is the Las Vegas Golden Knights expansion draft tonight. So I failed you, Mitch. I haven't read a local newspaper here. For me, it's all been about the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. But, look, we can go down the road if you want. The game's not sold out. The Alouettes have their lowest season ticket base since they moved back here in 1996 from Baltimore. Quite frankly, there could be more hype. And I guess that's a bit of a spin on the game. For those that involved, we're tremendously excited about it. I just think there could be more hype for a CFL season opener than there is right now going into the game.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. I don't know if it's the fact that it's a Thursday night or what it is, but I'm ready for it, and I know people here are ready for it, but I don't know if the country is ready for it. And obviously, Rod, the storyline is salacious going into this game. The only way it could have been better is if these two teams were playing at the new Mosaic Stadium. However, that would be a problem because of the Farm Progress Show, but I digress. There is just so many storylines to this football game. You know, Daron Carter's going home, the Jovan Johnson story that happened this week, but it all pales in comparison to Darian Durant playing against his old team as he makes his debut in a Montreal Alouettes uniform. And I know he's keeping it low key, but I just have to think that he cannot wait to get on the field tomorrow night and try to dish one out to the team that he worked so hard for the last many years.
Well, yeah, and there's a lot of ways that we can look at this game. I think you've got me on for an hour, so we've got lots of time to do it. When you talk about the people that are at home are excited, they are. I got a ton of text messages from my farmer buddies that are in town for the Farm Progress Show, and they all want tours of the stadium. They're all wondering where's the best place to go to watch the game. And the big question is, how are the Riders going to do this year? And we'll get into that down the road. You asked about Darian, because I got thoughts on all that other stuff. But I spent a good chunk of time with Darian today. Know him pretty well. I don't know him as well as Luke, who lived with him for a good chunk of time when Darian played for the Rough Riders, and Luke did too. He's not what I expected him to be.
In what way?
He was chipper. He was upbeat. And if you remember last year going into the season, he was down 20 pounds from what he'd played at in 2015. He's down another 15 pounds from that last year. Yeah, like if anybody follows my Snapchat, which they should at Peterson Media, I videoed a portion of the time I spent with Darian today, and the people that saw it were sending me messages saying, boy, he looks small. He looks very small. So that's a whole other thing. I mean, he's fine with his weight. He's fine with where he's at physically. I wonder if he's going to have the strength to throw off Rider defenders, which is what I think he's going to have to do tomorrow night. I'm not sure if he's sacrificed strength for the weight that he's given up. That's a whole other issue. But his mindset, Mitchell, is bubbly and happy and upbeat. And I knew what he was like going into playoff games in that 2013 season. I knew what he was like before that Grey Cup game in 2013. He was, like, ferociously motivated. You know, like, just that fire in his eyes, that glare. He didn't have that today. And that's not to say that he isn't motivated. I know deep down that the fire burns, but there were years past where he would have said, I'm going out tomorrow to shove it down Chris Jones' throat.
Yep.
He would have.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't say that today. And I kind of thought that there, or hoped, that he would say something like that. But he just wasn't willing to do that. And I had some time with Jacques Chapdelaine, the Alouettes head coach today, too. And I said, have you seen a difference in Darian this week? You've known him now several years, having coached him in Saskatchewan. And he said, I've noticed a difference in him, but not what you'd think. He said he's a more mature player than he's ever been. And Darian's a different guy, Mitch, than what he was, you know, earlier on in his career and even what he was just the past few years. For instance, he's living in downtown Montreal. That's had its trappings for several pro athletes in this town.
And I why would that be, Rod?
And I said to Darian, how is it living downtown? And he goes, let's put it this way, I'm glad I moved here when I'm older. Is what he said. Because he's always been an introvert. There's no two ways about that. He's always been an introvert. But because he can roam the streets of Montreal and not be noticed, and he can't, there's like a half a million guys that look like Darian Durant in this town. In Regina, he stuck out like a sore thumb.
And he talked about that today, and I know you sent me some audio today of Darian, and we'll try to get that on before the show is over today. And he basically talked about that. He said, you know what? I loved being the face of the franchise in Saskatchewan, but there wasn't anywhere where he could go where he wasn't being recognized. And that's going to happen here. Like, there's no ifs, buts, or maybes about it. But as you said, in Montreal, he can walk down St. Catherine Street. He can walk down anywhere. And I'm guessing a lot of people aren't going to say, hey, that's Darian Durant.
Yeah, and my longtime friends in Montreal were standing around when we had that conversation with Darian, and they laughed and they said he can do it now, but the longer that he's here, he won't be able to. And I'll give you an instance. Last night we were at a sports bar having supper, and they had a gigantic screen in there, and on the television was a documentary on the Alouettes from their training camp, and Darian was featured prominently and interviewed prominently in it. So it won't be long before Darian Durant's a star in this town. But he's got to win first, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he hasn't played a snap yet for the Montreal Alouettes. It's strange seeing him in blue. There's no two ways about that. But I'll go back to this. He's in a really good mood, and he's in a really good place mentally. And my thought was, when I saw him play angry in the past, I was fine with it because he delivered. You know, he played with a chip on his shoulder his entire time in Saskatchewan, and you know, that's the stuff, his track record is what legends are made of, right? He doesn't have to prove anything in Saskatchewan. You know, here he's still got things to prove, but he's not playing with that chip on his shoulder. And his story, by the way, is an interesting one, and everybody knows it. But he spent a decade trying to prove himself and work his way into the hearts of the Rider Nation. And when he finally did, he got traded away.
Yeah. Hey, I may be off base when I go with this, and I probably am, but I'll just say it anyhow. So you said that Darian played with a chip on his shoulder here, and I agree with you. He did. But you all know, Rod, because you and I have defended Darian on this program many times in his years in wearing green and white. There was a faction of people out there. It didn't matter what Darian Durant did. He couldn't win as far as they were concerned. They could not worm themselves into some people's hearts in the Rider Nation. The phone-in show, Darian's terrible. Darian's doing this. Darian's going to be traded. You know what I'm talking about.
Of course.
There in Montreal, he hasn't had that yet because it is a new beginning. And I don't think the Alouette fans are as vicious as what Rider fans can be. So is it the fact that the new beginning means the new attitude and he doesn't have to have that chip on his shoulder because he doesn't owe them anything and he doesn't owe, or the fans don't owe him anything and vice versa?
Well, I just think because it's new and he left with hard feelings towards Saskatchewan, which is unfortunate, or specifically towards Chris Jones, because he still loves Rider fans. There's no
yes, he does. Yep, absolutely.
But Jacques Chapdelain made what I thought was a tremendous quote today when we talked about this, and Jacques said every time that he bike pedals his way to Molson Stadium, there's a statue of Jackie Robinson out front, and it just symbolized to him that Montreal is a city for fresh starts. And everybody knows Jackie Robinson's history with Montreal, right, and the Brooklyn Dodgers and all the rest. Now, I put that on Twitter because I thought it was just a really deep quote.
Yep.
And people were laughing at that, saying, are you comparing Darian Durant to Jackie Robinson? Come off it. That wasn't the point. And maybe some people are too dense to get it. But it's a new start for Darian Durant. And when I talk about he as an Alouette being able to roam these streets anonymously, that is now, like those Montreal people pointed out. AC, for instance, can't do that. Anthony Calvillo's an icon in this town that can't leave his house because of all that he did here, but he did it over a decade. And I don't know if Darian Durant's going to be here for a decade or not. He might be. It's all going to depend on what he does on the field. But, you know, he's the highest paid Alouette, being paid close to what AC made. There's a lot of pressure on him, but he just doesn't feel it. Let me compare it this way. It's like somebody leaving the Maple Leafs, a franchise legend, and going to play in Florida. Wendell Clark, for instance, went to go play in Tampa Bay, didn't rejuvenate his career, but the pressure was off. And sure, there's pressure internally within that Alouette's locker room, but there isn't in the town for Darian. And I don't think he'll play another 10 years like he does, but I could easily see him play 4, 5, or 6 more years. I would still only put him at Kevin Glenn's age, Mitch.
Yeah, no, I know.
I think he's got a lot of more years left in him.
No, I agree with you. By the way, you were talking about a lot of your friends are looking for a tour of the stadium because of the Farm Progress show.
Yeah.
Brock Lesnar's at the Farm Progress show.
I've seen the picture.
Yeah, I know. Brock, if you are out there and you want to come into the cage, you want to sit down with Scruffy, you have an open invite.
And bring Sable.
Yes. Yes. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, more with Rod from Montreal. The show today is brought to you by Mako. If you've had an uh-oh and want it perfect again, better get Mako. You are listening to The Sports Cage on 620 CKRM and the 620 CKRM app. Time for Boston Pizza Afternoon Rush, and Darian Durant saying all the right things as his new team prepares to take on his old team in the opening game of the 2017 CFL season tomorrow. I spent my whole career there, and I have a lot of great memories, Durant said today. It's a special ball game, but at the end of the day, it's a game we need, a game that can get us off on the right track, and that's how we're looking at it. The Riders and Alouettes kick it off tomorrow night, 5:30, right here on 620 CKRM. A look at the Rider depth chart can be found on our website at 620CKRM.com. Connor McDavid, Sidney Crosby, and Sergei Bobrovsky are the finalists for the Hart Trophy. Is the NHL's MVP when the league announces its postseason awards tonight in Las Vegas. The Vegas Golden Knights will get their first NHL players in the expansion draft during the league's postseason awards show tonight. The NHL's 31st franchise stocks its roster in a draft that could allow Vegas' first major pro sports franchise to build a competitive team quickly. And ouch for Washington Nationals pitcher Max Scherzer today. He lost a no-hitter in the eighth inning on an infield hit. and then he lost the game, and the Miami Marlins scored two in the ninth for a 2-1 win this afternoon in the majors. Tonight, the Jays are in Texas for the third of a four-game series in Arlington. The afternoon rush for Boston Pizza. Enjoy the delicious brand-new fire-grilled pizzas at your local Boston Pizza today, or order online at bostonpizza.com. Mitchell Blair in with you. Rod Peterson in Montreal. Roddy, we've gotten a text on the Prairie Mobile text line from Rod in the 533. He says, boys, I'm trying to help you. Don't call her Sable. It's either Rena or, better yet, Mrs. Lesnar. You're welcome. So there you go. If you missed that during the break, Brock Lesnar's at the Farm Progress Show. And there's an open invitation for Mr. Lesnar and Mrs. Lesnar to come into the sports cage. And if they do, this show may never end tonight. Riley, I'm just telling you that right now. This show may never end tonight. Roddy, Darian Durant, obviously the focal point for good reason. But as I talked about, and we talked about him yesterday on this show, Daron Carter, he's looking forward to heading back to Montreal. I know Javon Johnson is. What are the Riders saying?
Just excited about the football game. Look, I'm part of the media. I know how the media thinks. You know how the media thinks. Kevin Glenn, Jovan Johnson, Daron Carter all stood before the reporters today after their walkthrough, and all the reporters wanted to talk about was what? Not being wanted by the Alouettes. And how does it feel to come back? And they all addressed it to the best of their ability, but Kevin was the one who kind of went in depth with it, and then afterwards said to me, "What are these guys not getting?" Like, he goes, I'm not a resentful person. I don't come I get out of bed every day. I don't do it because of spite. He goes, I'm happy to play this football game, happy to lead the Riders into this game. But the Alouettes players themselves said today they felt that they upgraded significantly at quarterback from Kevin Glenn to Darian Durant, which is a bit of a slight at Kevin.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was a backhanded slight. I don't think anything was intended towards Kevin, but they said it. And to be honest with you, Scruffy, if you just put Grey Cup champion beside Kevin Glenn's name in any one of the appearances that he had or should have had, like the 2007 Grey Cup, all of a sudden he's regarded as one of the greats because his stats are unbelievable. He's a top 10 all-time passer. Darian isn't even in that group. And Darian, if he retired today, would be considered a CFL great. All Kevin's missing is a championship. Do I think it's going to come this year? I certainly hope so, and that's where we can go down this road now. You ask what the Riders are thinking. They're just ready to go play a football game. This is the youngest team in the CFL. You probably saw some of my tweets and the stats that I put out today.
Yep.
They're the youngest team. The Alouettes are the oldest team. Riders have had the highest amount of roster turnover of any team in the CFL going into this year with only 29 returning players. So Chris Jones again turned over 50% of the roster. It's generally accustomed that you do it 30% year over year. I don't know what to expect out of this team. And this is what I was getting at earlier when my friends back home are texting me saying, what do we expect out of the Riders? I don't know.
Does anybody know? Because, Roddy, in our training camp tours, when I was talking to people across the league, and I was talking to them about the Riders, I know several of them said, they are a mystery. Nobody knows what they're bringing to the table.
They don't, and even I don't think the Riders know until they take to the field tomorrow night. I really don't think they do, Mitch. But in all of those power rankings and even the betting odds, they've all got the Riders listed at ninth. And I kind of chuckled at it earlier on in training camp, and now here we are week one, and the Riders have even dropped further. And I'm thinking, oh my, these people actually believe it. Yet I watched the TSN preview for the CFL season this week, and Dunnigan predicted the Riders to have 10 wins. Chris Schultz agreed that it's very possible if everything goes well. Well, no team's going to finish in top of this league unless everything goes well. And that's just what it takes.
Right.
The teams that suffer the most injuries are the ones that finish near the bottom. I think the Riders are definitely fine with where they're predicted to be. I know that Chris Jones won't be using it as a motivational tool like a lot of coaches have in the past. Danny Barrett would have that thing in everybody's locker, and so would Corey Chamberlain. Jones doesn't care what anybody thinks, but we don't know what they have. The one interesting thing is you talk about these two teams swapping quarterbacks, and I know we're going to have to go to a break here, but Kevin's a totally different quarterback than Darian. He is pinpoint passing. When I talk to people across the league, they feel he's the most accurate passer in the CFL, save for maybe Ricky Ray, but he's in another division. I think the Riders are going to be better off with Kevin Glenn at quarterback than people think.
Roddy, we will take a break. We will come back and talk to you. We've got you for the first hour, so we'll continue this conversation when we come back. It is a Football Wednesday in the Cage, the show brought to you today by Mako. You are listening to 620 CKRM and the 620 CKRM app. Welcome back to the Sports Cage on this Wednesday afternoon. Mitchell Blair in the big chair with you. Tomorrow, 2:30 right here on 620 CKRM. Michael Ball will be in with the pregame show to get you ready for the Riders season opener, the CFL season opener. The Riders in Montreal to take on the Alouettes. Daron Carter's first game against his old team. Rod Peterson and Luke Mullender will have it for you at 5:30 right here. And we go back to the Wheaton Kia hotline where Rod is with me. He's going to be with me for the final half hour. Roddy, taking a look at the lineup, I should say the final half hour of hour one, looking at this lineup today, I don't think there's any real surprises when I look at it. We knew that Rob Bagg was going to be on the one-game injured list. We knew that Newsom was going to be there. I take a look at this. There's nothing really there that stands out for me as a surprise, maybe with the exception that Jovan Johnson is starting at the one corner because he's only been here for a few days. But really, though, he's been around this league long enough that he knows what's going on.
Yeah. You know, there's nothing to feel bad about that Jovan Johnson is the starting corner. He's been a starting corner in this league for a decade and returned a lot of kicks. I don't think we're going to see him in that area. Riders should be fine with him starting there. They got that's at the field corner. Chris Lyles, rookie halfback, is going to be lining up beside him. That's the spot patrolled by Justin Cox last year. There's a lot of changes in the Rider secondary from last season, but I'll come back on that in a minute. You asked if there were any surprises to the roster, and you also asked how the Riders are feeling going into the game, and I guess I should ask you to be more specific because they're all thinking different things. Nick Dembski is going to line up at Rob Bagg's wide receiver position, and he is tremendously excited. I saw him yesterday because the team got here 2 days before the game, and I just said, man, you're going to be a busy guy Thursday night. And he said, what do you mean? I said, well, you're starting for Rob Bagg in the offense, and you're probably going to be returning punts. He goes, this is what I want. And his eyes just lit up. You know, so as much as Rob Bagg's probably gnashing his teeth that he's not on this trip, and Rider fans too, it's a huge opportunity for a guy like Nick Dembski, who, quite frankly, Scruffy, is in a contract year. And the Winnipeg Blue Bombers have made no secret of the fact they'd like to go after him when this year's over. So he's excited. And I'd like to get into the matchup with Darian Durant versus the Rider defense and how the Riders have any hope of corralling what's going to be a very motivated Darian Durant. Luke and I have talked about it. If you look at that Riders front seven, it's been pretty much rebuilt from last year in a lot of ways. And the interior of the defensive line, where a lot of their problems were, they've got two new guys starting tomorrow night in Eddie Steele and Zach Minter. And Chris Jones and Ed Filion couldn't wait to get their hands on Eddie Steele. He fills a huge spot at nose guard, and he's Canadian.
Agreed.
And they feel, Scott Schultz and Keith Schulligan, who I saw today, will tell you that's where everything starts up front. So while the secondary may be suspect only because we don't know how they're going to fare until tomorrow night, with Willie Jefferson and A.C. Leonard on the ends, which the Riders are just salivating over the possibilities there, Enoch Mwamba, middle linebacker, who's a game-changing player. He accounted for pretty much a takeaway per game last year immediately when he came in late in the season for the final third. And I don't know what's going to happen at the outside linebacker positions because there's new faces starting there, two rookies in Eric Dargan and Sam Williams.
But I want to ask you about Sam Williams, Rob, because I've heard a lot of good things about Sam Williams, and you didn't get a chance to see a lot of that, you know, in the BC game. So what have you seen from this guy at camp, and what can you tell people about him? Because he was a late arrival, was he not?
He was there from day one. He was one of the guys that was there from day one. But they had him lined up at field corner or a field halfback for most of training camp. Again, that was the spot patrolled by Justin Cox last year. And he was pretty good there. But they had 30, Tyler Hunter, in the Sam linebacker position, which even Jones admitted today, that's more of a sixth defensive back than it is a linebacker. It's a coverage linebacker. They moved him up from halfback to linebacker to that spot. So what he is a natural DB. But he's everything that Chris Jones wants. He's got long arms. He's tall. He's athletic. He's very fast. That's what he's all about. And he had a good enough preseason to earn a starting job coming into the regular season. So that's all I can tell you about Sam Williams. Don't know a whole lot about his background before he came to the Saskatchewan Roughriders, but that's the spot that Otha Foster played in, you know,
right,
most of last year, and was the most outstanding defensive player from that spot. He's not Otha Foster. He brings different things, but he's going to be a guy that's going to be assigned to, you know, shutting down Darian Durant's receivers tomorrow night. Up front, the front four, their job will be getting after Darian, and I think they're going to be able to do it. They want to hit him, Mitch, they want to hit him hard, they want to hit him often, they want to get him on the ground early in the football game. That's where they think their chances are going to come from. They don't want Darian to stand back and have time and air it out, because that's what Darian's going to want to do.
Yeah. And I agree with you on that, and I know that you and I haven't had a chance to talk about the disaster that was the final preseason game, but I had a lot of people going like, well, is this what we're going to get? Are we going through this again? They didn't like the fact that they were beaten by 33 points. And I'm like, okay, you know what? It was preseason, whatever. Can we look at a positive here? With a three-man rush, this team had 6 sacks.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know that Newsom isn't playing. And, you know, Leonard had a great game. And Tiga had a big game. You know, and I'm looking forward to seeing this front four do their thing. And, yes, Jonathan Newsom isn't going to play. But I think this front four that's going into the season very quietly could make a lot of noise very soon in this league, and that could start tomorrow in Montreal.
Well, and I don't have my roster open in front of me. It's on my laptop, but it's not just about the four players that we named.
No, you're right.
Zach Minter, Eddie Steele, A.C. Leonard, and Willie Jefferson. Toby Antigua is a rookie who got a sack the other night against Jonathan Jennings. S.A. Mabruri, who started most of last year at that Canadian nose tackle position, is a backup. So they're all along on the trip. And Chris Jones has said this repeatedly. In his defense, he's going to rotate all of those guys liberally. And some of the guys that didn't come over from Edmonton weren't interested in playing in that system. And Chris Jones wasn't interested in having them. Eddie Steele is. Willie Jefferson is. So not only are the starting four going to wreak havoc, but they're going to be fresh because they're going to be rotated throughout the football game. That's what Chris Jones likes to do. So they think that they're going to be able to get their pressure with their four guys, and that takes a lot of pressure off the back eight.
Prairie Mobile text line call, or text, excuse me. Did Meredith get released, and how was the disabled list different from the injured list? That's from Brad in Regina. Eddie Meredith did not get released. He's on the practice roster. And I guess, Rod, there is a thing like the injured list and the disabled list. What is the difference? Because it both seems to be the same.
Well, with the roster that the Riders released today, I didn't see anybody on the disabled list.
One guy, Ryan White.
Oh, well, it's probably the same as suspended.
That's what my thought was, too.
You know, healthy, but not able to play for whatever reason. My guess is that's the suspended list. But they've got about 6 players on the one-game injured list. That includes Quinn Van Gilswick, Rob Bagg, Jonathan Newsom, 2 players on the 6-game injured list, which generally signifies long-term injury, and Chad Owens is one of those guys, and Tavon Campbell is the other. But I just hate, frankly, how the CFL changes this stuff from year to year to year.
Mm-hmm.
They don't send out any information on what those discrepancies are, but my suggestion is that the disabled list is simply another word for a suspended list.
Roddy, our good friend Bob Irving in Winnipeg has sent out a tweet this afternoon. It doesn't relate to the game tomorrow night, but it is an interesting tweet, though, and I just want to get your thoughts on this because I think you know where mine's going to go on this. Knuckles has tweeted out, Jim Lawson says it's not a must to have a Canadian as next CFL commissioner. Surely he jests. It's an absolute must. Now, I know that the commissioner search, we're not getting a lot of news on that. I know Wayne Parrish, the former Basketball Canada exec, is seen to be a front runner who is Canadian, but I have to agree with Bob here. Like, I just think we have to have a Canadian as a commissioner. Do you not agree with me on that?
Well, I think the Halftime Act at Grey Cup should be Canadian, and half the people don't agree with me there. of course I think the commissioner of the CFL should be Canadian, but it's been made pretty clear to me that my opinions on the commissioner search are not to be voiced. So I'll say good luck with the search. I have no idea what they're doing. I think it's unfortunate that we're opening a season without a commissioner. Let's put it this way. Your commissioner is the leader of the league, and we're opening the season without a leader.
Yep. So, no, I agree with you on that.
Good luck to the smart guys that are going to find this guy.
From the 620, hey, guys, kept quiet all camp and just listened to the great shows every day. So my feelings now are that let's see how it rolls out over the next few weeks. Great work, you guys, at camp. Go Riders. We talked about it going into the break, and I know we're coming up on another break here right away. But, you know, again, the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, I don't know if anybody knows what to expect from this team. And you know what? I like that. Nobody knows what to expect from these guys. And yeah, I'm not going to sit here and say they're going to challenge for a Grey Cup, because I don't think that's going to happen this year unless everything goes right. But I like the fact that nobody knows what to expect from these guys. With a short week, I don't know if we're really going to see the Saskatchewan Rough Riders that we're expecting to see. And I like that, because they're a mystery to a lot of teams right now.
Yeah, well, for sure. And I've said that all along. I don't like that they're picked to be last. How could you? I think they're reasonably comfortable with it, because it does put a chip on their shoulder. But for one, as of today, every team's tied for first place, so every team's optimistic, and the Riders are optimistic about their chances. But, you know, Winnipeg, they literally have the Grey Cup parade plan mapped out. You know, and I was talking to a big power broker today here in Montreal who doesn't think Winnipeg's even going to make the playoffs.
No, and that's where I am, and I know you and I have had this chat, and I said it with Derek yesterday, and I've put it on your Friday columns that I write up. I think the Riders can't compete with BC and Calgary, but I think they can finish third in the West, and I certainly think they're better than Winnipeg.
Yeah, well, all they have to do, and it's easier said than done, but is beat Winnipeg and Edmonton in their head-to-head games.
Yep.
And you're in great stead right there to finish in third place. Now, one more thing, because you said we got a break, is this game tomorrow night isn't necessarily must-win. I don't know what's going to happen. Montreal's favored by 6.5 points, and the odds makers are rarely wrong. I think the Riders have some surprises up their sleeves and have a chance to win it, but if they don't, it's not the end of the world. But the home opener against Winnipeg is a must-win game. And if they go into it 0-1, it's even bigger than a must-win game.
I agree with you.
Because that's a divisional opponent that,
yep,
if they're going to make the playoffs, they must win.
Absolutely.
I'm not looking past the Montreal game in any way, shape, or form. I mean, I probably won't be able to sleep tonight. That's how excited I am for the game. I'm just saying the next one is is one that they absolutely have to have.
And not only that, do we really want to christen the first official game at Mosaic Stadium and have it go down in history as a Winnipeg Blue Bombers win?
Absolutely not.
Ugh.
But, you know, Mitch, with the question to what do the Riders have, you and I don't know, the fans don't know, and again, I'll say it, I'm not sure the Riders know. We'll have a good idea after tomorrow night.
Yes, we will. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll hear what Chris Jones had to say to the media in Montreal today, and we'll finish hour one off with Roddy when we come back. You are listening to The Sports Cage, a presentation of Mako today on 620 CKRM and the 620 CKRM app. Time for the RMP Sports Cage Sports Ticker, and the Rider roster for tomorrow's season opener in Montreal has been released. You can look at it on our website at 620ckrm.com. Jonathan Newsom and Rob Bagg will miss the game. They've been put on the one-game injury list. As expected, Chad Owens has been put on the six-game list. We'll have it all for you right here tomorrow night on 620 CKRM, starting with the pregame show at 2:30. Connor McDavid is considered the front-runner for the Hart Trophy as the NHL's MVP. The league hands out its hardware tonight in Las Vegas. McDavid's one of three finalists, along with Pittsburgh star Sidney Crosby and Columbus goalie Sergei Bobrovsky. Hey, Sergei, here's a hint. Don't even get up with those other two, because nobody's voting. The NHL's new Vegas Golden Knights will reveal their roster tonight at the league's annual awards. The team will fill their lineup in a draft that could allow the city's first major pro sports franchise to build a competitive team quickly. The Golden Knights start play next season, and the Regina Red Sox are home tonight. It's a great night for ball. They'll meet the Weyburn Beavers at Curry Field in a 7 o'clock start. As the team starts a four-game homestand, Regina goes in with a record of 10-4. They're a half game behind first place with Current in the Eastern Division. More on the Western Major Baseball League and the WNBL report with Buster Riles, Riley Pollock, coming up later in this show. The RMP Sports Cage Sports Ticker for Regina Motor Products, home of the no car crap BS. Rod Peterson joins me on the line. We've only got a few more minutes with him. Roddy, I was going to play what Chris Jones had to say today, but we'll move that to later in the show so we can just sort of wrap things up with you. Chris in Brandon has texted in. He says, Scruffy, I'm very worried because Steele and AC Leonard couldn't start on any other team in the CFL. I've loaded up my fantasy team with L's this week. That's from Chris in Brandon. Chris, that might be a mistake. Your thoughts, Roddy?
Well, Eddie Steele could care less what Chris in Brandon thinks. He's got a Grey Cup ring as a starter on the defensive line of the 2015 Grey Cup champion Edmonton Eskimos. And AC Leonard led the Riders in sacks last year. He was a beast the other night when he played. I don't know. Maybe Chris and Brandon should coach the team.
Well, maybe Chris and Brandon is playing one of those free games on DraftKings. If you're paying the $22, Chris, thanks for the investment. Or thanks for the donation, I guess.
You know what? But the thing is, before the season kicks off here, anybody can say whatever they want. You know, you can have an optimistic view or a pessimistic yep. view of the Rough Riders. Nobody knows for sure what the answers are. So I know this. The Riders had a tough offseason for a variety of reasons. It began with the tragic death of Joe McKnight, their fines, it was not a good offseason. The Manziel stuff.
Yep.
They're ready to do their talking on the field.
Absolutely. The blackboard is clean going into tomorrow night.
Yes.
Hey, answer me this question, because you've seen them. I haven't. And I couldn't find their depth chart today for the life of me, and it wasn't even on their website. I know that Darian Durant is the quarterback of this team, and I know they've got, a hotshot receiver named Cunningham. What else do the Montreal Alouettes have? Because talk about a team that you don't know a lot about, and they're another team that had a big rebuilding job last year. They only won 5 games. Mm. Who can we look for the Montreal Alouettes?
We can start with Ernest Jackson, for one.
Yeah,
I had lunch with his agent today, and he said Ernest Jackson is at probably the peak of his career or is approaching it. If you watched their preseason game against Ottawa, and we were very, we anxiously sat down to watch it. We were in Vancouver last Thursday night to watch it. Yeah, Darian lit it up. And, yes, it was against a lot of the Ottawa backups. So what? He did all that he could do. Two touchdowns for sure. He might have thrown 3. Terrell Sutton ran roughshod out of the backfield. Cunningham, you're right. Nick Lewis was waddling around there today. He's back for another season. And I joke, but he's a top 10 all-time CFL receiver. He's a Hall of Famer. And back to Ernest Jackson for a second. He was the guy that, caught the game-winning touchdown pass in the Grey Cup last year.
Who'd they beat again?
Yeah, the Calgary Stampede.
Right.
So that's they say that their offensive line's going to be better. It was a major problem for them last year. And on the defensive side of the ball, I don't know, do the names Chip Cox, John Bowman mean anything to you?
But those are the only two guys that really stand out, though. Bear Woods is gone. I can't even think of a guy in the secondary right off the top of my head. But, yeah, Cox and Bowman are the only two guys that really are named guys.
Well, I'll tell you what. This is the thing with what's going on here in Montreal. They've missed the playoffs the last couple of years. I told you their season ticket base is the lowest it's been in 20 years. Cavis Reed, God bless him. I like the guy. He's pushed all his chips into the table. They went after Darian Durant. And, yeah, getting rid of Bear Woods, most outstanding defensive player 2 of the last 3 years, probably wasn't the greatest move, but it was all because of salary. A lot of that money went into Darian. They got rid of S.J. Green. They got rid of Winston Venable.
Yep.
Mind you, he went to Toronto when the Argos cut him. But they've got a lot of money tied up in a handful of big-name players. That's not necessarily a formula to win long-term, but it's a formula to win short-term. And this is the one thing that Luke, we discuss this a lot, doesn't like about this matchup is playing Montreal early. I've already said they're the oldest team in the CFL. Old teams get hurt, but this is the healthiest that they're going to be. So what do you do when you've got big-name guys? You got to pay a lot of no-name rookies chump change. So there's a handful of those guys on this Montreal team, too. The Riders are going to get Montreal's best tomorrow night, and that's not good news for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. And I'm not going out on a limb and guaranteeing a win at all. I hope they win. I predicted them to win on In the Huddle, and I guess you're going to get to your picks next hour.
Yep.
I guess, so you can put me down for a Rider win.
All right.
Shocking.
Yeah. Who else have you got this week, by the way?
It is Calgary at Ottawa in a Grey Cup rematch.
Yep.
I've got all home teams except for ours.
Okay.
So it's Argos home to Hamilton. I've got the Argos, and BC home to Edmonton. I've got BC to win.
You've got Toronto over Hamilton?
I do.
Okay, that's where we're going to differ then, because I've got the Riders and Hamilton, and then the two home teams as well. So I'm going to let you go. Before I do, though, where's supper tonight? And please tell me that you're going to be consuming some smoked meat.
No, I don't like smoked meat.
Really?
For one, don't like it.
Oh, Roddy, Roddy, Roddy.
And for two, I'm going with Alouette's blogger, Cliffy D. Pine, who you've heard.
Yes.
And webmaster to the stars, Jeff Armstead's in town.
Armstead's there?
Yes. So we're going.
Oh, God. Are you going to bail him out?
We're going to Korean barbecue tonight. Cliffy's choice. It's his town. So we'll see what that has to offer.
Well, Armstead's married, so I guess he has to behave himself now.
Exactly.
But he is in Montreal, so. Oh, boy. All right.
Scruff.
We'll see you tomorrow, or we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Yep.
All right. Rod Peterson on the Wheat and Kia Hotline. When we come back, we will go to Toronto, get the Medani report. We'll talk more CFL. We're going to talk some NHL before this show is over as well, including a chat with Regina Pats forward Nick Henry, who, of course, will hear his name at the NHL draft this weekend. You are listening to The Sports Cage for Mako on 620 CKRM and the 620 CKRM app. Hour two of the Sports Cage gets underway. Mitchell Blair with you. If you missed the first hour with Rod Peterson, all you have to do is go back and listen to the podcast once Buster Riles puts it up later tonight. The podcast for the Canadian Brewhouse. Head to the Canadian Brewhouse Saturday, June 24th for a four-course beer dinner. $39.99 tickets. Get yours from your server today. Before we get to Arash Madani, I just want to get this out of the way before I forget about it. It is the Sports Cage Coach of the Week. The Sports Cage Coach of the Week gets a limited edition Sports Cage cap, a certificate of recognition, and a Coach of the Week clipboard. Thanks to Brian Gawley and the team at smartinvestingsolutions.ca. And the person that's this week's winner is a guy that I know pretty well, and I will congratulate him. That is Olivier Eddy, the head coach of the Regina Riot, the women's football team that won the WWCFL title. Why should he be recognized for our Sports Cage Coach of the Week as the person who's nominated him? Well, simple. Olivier is hands down one of the best coaches in any sport that I've played. He has such an amazing respect for everyone on the team. It really shows he cares about you individually when things in your life are happening, always making sure you're doing okay. He believes in all of us and truly brings out the best in each and every one of us. I believe it's his hard work and dedication to coaching and pushing the team to be the best they can made the Riot the champions they get to call themselves now. So, Olivier Eddy, you are the Sports Cage Coach of the Week. Now, I know Olivier's not listening, but there's a pretty good reason for that. Olivier is in Langley, BC, because he is an assistant coach with the Canadian team that starts play in the World Women's Football Championships, and that happens this weekend. Arash Madani, ready to go on the line, and we will go to him on the Wheat and Kia Hotline. How are you, my good man?
I'm wonderful, Mr. Blair. How are you?
I'm good. I am good. Do we find you in Toronto again tonight?
You sure do. I'm off to Kansas City tomorrow, where the Blue Jays open against the Royals on Friday.
Question for you about the Blue Jays, and we're going to talk about them a little bit more here this afternoon, but I see that Kevin Pillar is not playing tonight. And I know that Kevin Pillar, his game has really gone south since that unfortunate incident with him earlier this year. Is this just sort of taking a night off with Kevin Pillar, or is there something more to this?
It's a taking the night off for Kevin Pillar tonight. They have a day game tomorrow, but Kevin Pillar is no longer the leadoff hitter for the Toronto Blue Jays. John Gibbons is making a change. He wants Kevin just to kind of exhale, and Pillar is one of those guys who puts a lot of pressure on himself, but it's Dwight Smith Jr. starting in center field tonight. Pillar will regain that spot. Russ Martin will hit on the two-hole. Jose Bautista is back in the leadoff role. So that's where things are right now with the Blue Jays. Pilar had that great start to the season, Mitchell, as you remember.
Yep.
But he's really been in a funk for the last little while. So Gibbons has given him the day off today, but he's no longer, for now anyway, the leadoff hitter.
All right. Hey, the Blue Jays, and I believe last night when they lost again, it was the eighth time they have tried to get to 500 and have not managed to do so. And that is strange. And give the Blue Jays a lot of credit, because after that terrible start they've had, they have fought back, but they can't get back to 500 for whatever reason. I believe they're still last in the American League East. I didn't look at the standings today, but I know they're back of the Red Sox considerably, and that their chances of a wild card are better than a division title right now.
Right.
We've got about 6 weeks.
Especially with the Yankees.
Yeah, we've got about 6 weeks to go until the trade deadline. Whereabouts are the Jays sitting? Because I read some stories and I go, or they go, you know what, they can trade some guys to get some assets. Then I read some other stories and it's the Blue Jays can add some to take a run at a wild card spot and maybe get hot in a division if the Yankees and Boston should slow down a little bit and challenge them for the division, because they've got games against those teams left. Where are the Jays going, and what are the direction are they looking at here moving forward?
Well, I think if you look at it now, Mitchell, look where they are. They're playing two teams right now, with Texas and Kansas City, who are roughly in and around the same area they are in the wild card race. Then they come home. They get Baltimore and Boston at home. They hit the road to New York. They get the Yankees for three. Then the best team in baseball, Houston, comes to the Rogers Center, and then it's the All-Star break. So that's basically going to go on over the next, what, 2.5, 3 weeks? And that's the midway point between now and the trade deadline. I have a feeling we're going to have a real good idea by the end of that Houston series, when baseball takes a break to go to Miami, exactly where the Blue Jays are, if they're in the hunt. And if they're contending, then comes the question. Right, what are they willing to give up to add? And I don't think it's going to be at all anything like 2 years ago when Alex Anthopoulos gave up the farm for Price and Tulowitzki and Revere and the rest. It's one of those scenarios where I think they'll add some depth pieces, but the plan for Mark Shapiro is, you know, sustained success, and they want to build that minor league farm system. So I don't see them really making a huge splash, even if they're in the conversation.
More baseball talk coming up with Craig Slater at 5:30, our baseball insider. Arash, the CFL season begins tomorrow night. I know you're excited to see the season get underway. The Calgary Stampeders, and for good reason, they're being seen as overwhelming Grey Cup favorites.
Yeah, how could it not be, right?
Do we just automatically say put the Calgary Stampeders in the Grey Cup game? Because I think the BC Lions are going to give them one heck of a challenge this year. Well, and I'm not sure if the BC Lions can, I'm not sure if the Calgary Stampeders can beat the BC Lions this year.
Well, I don't know about that, Mitchell. I mean, there's so much hype about the BC Lions. And the last time I checked, Calgary led 32-0 at the half of the West Final in November.
That was then. This is now.
Well, but I don't know how much personnel has changed. You know, are the Lions that much better? Are the Stamps that much worse? I just don't know. But so much of the prognostication, I get this is what we do and this is what we're supposed to do, but especially in the CFL the last few years, I almost think it's futile, only because who's going to be the starting quarterback who's going to be healthy league-wide, right? I mean, you know, we talked the other day, and we talked about Trevor Harris in Ottawa. How long is Trevor Harris going to last? How long is he going to be healthy? Is Drew Tate going to be the guy there? Can Bo Levi stay healthy? I was told Bo Levi played through a real serious injury for a lot of last season and into the playoffs.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, in a battle of attrition over 18 games, who's going to stay healthy. But on paper, based on reputation, based on what they've done, based on talent, no one even comes close, Mitchell, to the Stampeders.
All right. I still think that Wally's got something up his sleeve this year. Out east, I have no idea. And like I said yesterday, I think it was yesterday on the show, I said it to Derek. I like Montreal, but if Darien gets hurt, I don't Montreal.
Yeah.
I don't like Toronto, but I think they're going to be better because Trestman and Pop are there.
Right.
I think when Hamilton has Zach Collaros, they're the best team in the East, but Zach Collaros has a tough time putting in a full season. And then Ottawa, the target is on their back, and take nothing away from them, but I just think it could be a very competitive East, but I don't know who the best team in the East is.
So let's look at it. A lot of change in Montreal, right? New GM, new head coach. You look at Toronto, new GM, new head coach. You look at Ottawa, new quarterback. You look at Hamilton, GM, head coach, quarterback are the same. Here's where it gets intriguing for me with the Ticats. And I don't think a lot of people have really, you know, paid attention to this or talked about this. Because special teams aren't sexy, right, Mitchell?
Right.
You know, we don't sit here and talk about specials, but in a three-down game, the kicking game is huge. And Hamilton's had probably the best special teams in the league, along with any team Craig Dickinson's coached, for the last little while. Jeff Reinbold's been a special teams coach. Now Reinbold takes over the defense in Hamilton. So you have a total change. You have a total change in who's running the special teams. You have a change in the defense. And that's a very talented defensive group there. There's no question. But it's, you know, that's a changing of the guard there. And I'm very intrigued to see how that all plays out, man.
I will ask you about the Riders. I'd be remiss if I didn't. I am of the belief that, obviously, the Riders can't compete with Calgary and BC for first. I do think the Riders can compete with Edmonton and Winnipeg for third, and I think the Riders can win that battle. In talking to a lot of people around the league, and you know this as well, a lot of people don't really know what to expect from the Saskatchewan Rough Riders this year. I think that's a good thing to start off with, but where do you see this team performing this year, and how do you think they can do? Can they make a playoff spot?
Well, they could. Listen, Kevin's got to stay healthy. There's no question there. I mean, they need starting quarterback health. I think the addition of Daron Carter is huge for them. If he can just play well in the sandbox, that's been a challenge for Daron now.
Absolutely.
Right? That's a big part of it.
And he admits that.
Sure. Sure. And at this stage of things, I just wonder if the light has kind of come on. What we don't know about the Riders, and I really believe this, is there have to be a couple of guys on the defensive side of the football that are not household names yet that are going to be. That's a hallmark of any Chris Jones defense and any Chris Jones team. It's somebody who's, I mean, the speed, probably high-end Division I NCAA talent that just didn't work out. And I think there are going to be a couple of guys on that defensive side of the ball that we just don't know yet that are really going to emerge this season. I don't know how the West is going to shake out. I'm, you know, it's when a GM goes into a situation where the head coach is already in place, like Edmonton, that's always, you know, it's always an eyebrow raiser. So it's definitely an uphill climb for the Riders. But you know, I'm not quite sure if their Canadian personnel is good enough, but they're not a write-off. Believe that.
Yeah, I do firmly believe that, you know, and again, a lot of variables have to take place, injuries and everything else you have to look through. I think the Riders are considerably better than the team that walked off the field last year in BC. And I think, you know, there's some people that take a look at that game in BC last weekend and they're going, well, here we go again. Well, no, that's not going to happen. I really don't see that happening. As I said on the program yesterday, I see an 8-9 win season coming. And I know in hour one, Arash, and you probably didn't hear it, Roddy's take, tomorrow night isn't a must-win game for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, but in week two, when the Winnipeg Blue Bombers come into town, whether you be 0-1, whether you be 1-0, that is a must-win game because you have to beat the Bombers and Eskimos.
I don't know about that. Last year, how bad was Winnipeg out of the gate the first six games?
But those are games that you're going to have to win, though, your division rivals, knowing that you probably can't beat BC and Calgary to get into first or second.
Yeah, but the Riders aren't going to get into first or second this year, right?
Which is why they've got to get that early advantage on Winnipeg.
Right. I will tell you this, And this is why, if you're a Rider fan, you should be encouraged by maybe the team wasn't as bad as it was, and you should be discouraged by the state of affairs over in downtown Toronto, is that I was told at the league meetings this winter, the CFL admitted to the Saskatchewan brass, Mitchell, that they blew it on 4 challenge calls.
Only 4?
Well, that's what they admitted. Now, those are game-changing.
Absolutely.
Kind of deals,
was right? Justin Cox's pass interference on Labor Day one of them?
I didn't get into the details of which.
Don't get me started on that.
Right. Now, here's the other thing. The season's going to start without a commissioner.
Yeah.
I'm going on a totally different area.
Yep.
I was told also, Mitchell, that on Monday of this week, so what is that, 2 days ago, most of the interviews, if not all, for CFL commissioner were held.
How'd your interview go?
I'm not being considered, but they appreciated They appreciated you writing me.
I sent you a nice recommendation letter.
There you go.
All right. Hey, listen, have a safe trip to Kansas City. Have some barbecue, have some ribs, have some Kansas City food, my man.
I definitely will. We'll chat next week.
All right, take care. Arash Madani on the Madani Report, and he comes to you on the Wheaton Kia Hotline. Wheaton Kia, save up to $6,000 during the Great Saskatchewan Sorrento Super Sale. We will take a break. Come back. You are listening to the Sports Cage on 620 CKRM and the 620 CKRM app. Original Don and Ron on that call. Don Whitman, Ron Lancaster, the 89 Grey Cup. Who wasn't a fan of Don Whitman doing CFL football? You know I'm a big Cuthbert fan, but I love Don Whitman calling CFL football. He was one of the best, not just in this country, but in the U.S. as well. Great hearing that one. Nice job on you, Riley. Boston Pete's afternoon rush after being signed earlier this week. Jovan Johnson will get a chance to take on the team that released him earlier this year when the Riders take on the Alouettes to start the CFL season tomorrow. The Riders released their roster and depth chart for tomorrow's game. It shows several on the one-game injured list, including Rob Bagg and Jonathan Newsom. You can get a look at the depth chart by going to our website at 620ckrm.com. It's a big day for the NHL. The league hands out its yearly awards tonight. The MVP will go to either Sidney Crosby, Connor McDavid, or Sergei Bobrovsky. We'll also find out who the Vegas Golden Knights have selected in the expansion draft. And we found out the home openers for each team today. The full schedule is going to be released tomorrow. The season will open October 4th. Get your hockey draft started now. The Chicago Blackhawks announced today Marian Hossa will not play this season. Hossa's been receiving treatment for a skin disorder and the side effects that go with it. The 38-year-old said to be suffering a severe allergic reaction to the equipment he wears. There's a lot of concern about Hossa right now in Chicago, and for good reason. And the Canadian Junior Curling Championships have a new title sponsor. New Holland Agriculture has signed on to be the lead sponsor moving forward. This year's event goes in Shawinigan, Quebec, with the winner going to the World in Scotland. If Smalley's listening, that probably just piqued his interest. The Boston Pizza Afternoon Rush for Boston Pizza. Enjoy the delicious brand-new fire-grilled pizzas at your local Boston Pizza today, or order online at bostonpizza.com. The Eskimos made some news today. I have that here somewhere. Where did I put that? Right here. The Eskimos have signed their first-round draft pick, receiver Nate Behar. He was selected 5th overall by the Eskimos back in May. The Carlton Ravens product played in 8 games this past season and recorded 48 receptions for 788 yards and 9 touchdowns. Over his 4-year collegiate career, he caught 178 passes for 2,577 yards and 21 touchdowns in 30 games. He was the second receiver off the board behind only McMaster's Danny Vandervoort, who went 3rd overall to the BC Lions. The Eskimos open up their season Saturday in Vancouver against the Lions. Now, if you have listened to this show for the past number of years, and I know you have because this is Saskatchewan's number one sports show, you know that we have done the picks on this show for a number of years. Now, I did ask Roddy today if we're doing that, and he said we're just going to get our picks out of the way first. Now, if you were listening in hour one, Roddy told you his picks for this week. He's taken the Riders over Montreal. He's taken Ottawa over Calgary. He's taking BC over Edmonton. He's taken Toronto over Hamilton. As for me, I am taking the Riders over Montreal in a tight one. I think it could come down right to the last play. The Ottawa Red Blacks in Calgary, or home to Calgary, I'm taking Ottawa in that one as well. I'm also taking BC, but Roddy and I are going to differ because I'm taking Hamilton to beat the Argos at BMO Place, Roddy's taking the Argonauts. So that is what we were doing. Probably once we sort of get more into everything, straight week and everything, we'll get that all going. But that's our picks for week one of the CFL season. All right, I'm going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk some more baseball. Craig Slater, our baseball insider, is going to join us as he does every week. We've got a lot of things to talk about, including the play of one of my boys that resides at Wrigley Field. So we'll talk about that and a lot more when we come back. You are listening to The Sports Cage on 620 CKRM and the 620 CKRM app. Mitchell Blair with you on this Wednesday afternoon. The show brought to you by Mako. If you've had an uh-oh, better get Mako. If you've missed any of the show so far tonight, you want to go back and listen. The first hour we had Rod on. We just had Arash Madani on talking Riders. Getting you ready for tomorrow night's game. You can listen to the podcast for the Canadian Brewhouse. Head to the Canadian Brewhouse this Saturday for a four-course beer dinner. $39.99 tickets. Get yours from your server today. 936-6262 if you want to talk to me. In town, 1-866-767-0620. Out of town, Prairie Mobile text line 551-2576 or 551-CKRM. From unnamed texter in the 526 says he will take another Calgary-Ottawa Grey Cup final. I believe the Red Blacks are head and shoulders the best team in the East, and Calgary is Calgary. Fine with that. Regina Red Sox play tonight. They take on the Weyburn Beavers, 7:05 start at Curry Field. And while we're talking baseball, let's go to the Wheat and Kia hotline and talk to our baseball insider, as we do every week, Craig Slater. He joins us on the Wheat and Kia hotline. Wheat and Kia, save up to $6,000 during the Great Saskatchewan Sorrento Super Sale. Craig, how you doing?
Not too bad. Throwing down the anchor, trying not to blow away over here.
Is it getting windy out?
It's a little breezy, yeah.
A little breezy?
That. Yeah.
Well, it might be patio weather later. Just saying. Just saying. A lot of things to talk about. And one of them, one of my guys, one of my Chicago Cubs, making some headlines this week. One good, one bad. I'm talking about Anthony Rizzo. And with the Cubs struggling, Joe Maddon put him into the leadoff spot, and he's been joking that he's the best leadoff man in the history of Major League Baseball ever. In his first six games, he hit three home runs. Could have had a fourth, but it was called back on a challenge. He's been unreal at the plate. Now, today he flew out to deep right field in a game against the Padres. He could have been 7-for-7. That's the good. The bad is a game against the other night against the Padres. A fly ball to center field. He tried to score on the sac fly. He was thrown out at home place in what was a hard-nosed baseball play as he collided with catcher Austin Hedges. The Padres didn't like it. They complained about it. And Major League Baseball said it was an illegal slide under the rules of today. And I guess, Craig, we'll start it off there. Are we getting too soft when it comes to plays like this? Because that was a good hard-nosed baseball play as far as I'm concerned, but baseball didn't like it.
Yeah, I mean, it depends what side of the argument you fall on, whether it's the rules have become too soft or Major League Baseball is making a better effort to protect its players, something that the NFL certainly has no interest in doing or the National Hockey League has no interest in doing. Whether it's soft, I think Anthony Rizzo's slide the other night certainly wasn't malicious. It wasn't a dirty play, but he had zero intent to touching home plate as opposed to blowing up the catcher and hopefully that resulting in a safe call. I remember a few years ago when one of the game's best players, Buster Posey, was involved in a collision at home plate, and he ended up breaking his leg and blowing out his knee, and he missed the entire season. Baseball doesn't want to see its best players missing entire seasons, and I think they're trying to do a better effort of protecting players on plays like that. I think they're lucky that Anthony Rizzo wasn't hurt on the play, and they're lucky that the San Diego catcher Austin Hedges wasn't hurt on the play. Had one of them been hurt, maybe there would have been a suspension. Who knows?
And, yeah, and I guess, and again, as I said, and I'm, you know, one of those guys, I'm old school. I like the hard-nosed plays at second base, and you can't have that anymore because of what happened in the playoffs a few years ago with Chase Utley and the Mets shortstop. I forget his name right at the moment. You know, you have these plays at home plate, and you brought up Buster Posey. I don't know. I just think that the game's getting too soft. And I know you talked about concussions and injuries, but that can happen. You know, two guys can collide in the outfield and have a major big injury in that. What are we going to do? We're going to say you can't, you know, quadrant off. You can't go off this way if you're the center fielder. You can't go this far or whatever. I don't know. But I don't like the rule the way that stands. But, you know, I know things aren't changing anytime soon.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, yeah, I see your point. I do, and, you know, it's ticky-tack stuff like that that it's going to frustrate some people. And on the other side of the fence, there's people that are going to say, you deliberately went after my guy, maybe not trying to hurt him, but what you did certainly had a very high percentage of injuring somebody.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And maybe if it was Will Myers doing that to Wilson Contreras, I'd have had a different
sure.
take on this. But I think you know me, though, well enough that I can look at things through both sides of the glass or both sides of the window, even though I do root for one team. But yeah, I didn't like that. But what I do like, or I don't know if I like this or not either, but I do like what Rizzo has done since he's gone to leadoff. But it seems also that the days of the speed guy at the top of the order are starting to diminish in Major League Baseball. And, you know, Joe Maddon put Rizzo in the leadoff spot tonight. I don't know if you know or not, but John Gibbons has Jose Bautista leading off in Texas tonight as they've taken Kevin Pillar out of the leadoff role. A lot of other teams don't have speed guys at the top of the order. Is this just a fad or is this a change in baseball where the speed guy doesn't necessarily lead off the game anymore?
You know, I think it's a direction that baseball is headed if it isn't there already. You know, for the majority of last season, Jose Bautista was the leadoff hitter for the Blue Jays. Carlos Santana was the leadoff hitter for the Cleveland Indians. Anthony Rizzo now, I don't know if it's a permanent thing, but he's leading off for the Cubs. And two thoughts on this. The one is, are these guys leading off for their teams because there's no one else who fits the role of your prototypical leadoff hitter? Or are they doing it because everybody knows your best hitters are going to get higher, are going to hit higher in the lineup, so because they get more at-bats that way, are they hitting them there? And if so, for me, I think their value is to their team is being taken away a little bit, because if you're Anthony Rizzo, who's hitting in front of you? It's the number eight guy and then a pitcher, who two guys that generally aren't on base a lot. So Anthony Rizzo's RBI opportunities are going to take a plunge, I think, if he continues to bat in the leadoff spot.
Geez, I don't know where I want to go here just before I let you go. Actually, we can tie these into one. The National League West, I think, is the best division in baseball this year. The Rockies, the Diamondbacks, the Dodgers, all fighting for first place. I think we can really talk about the Colorado Rockies as a contender now as we get to the end of June with the record they've got. For the Dodgers, we knew they were going to be good this year. They always are good. But one of the reasons they've been so good this year is the play of Cody Bellinger, who really is the National League's version of Aaron Judge. Where'd this guy come from?
He's always been regarded as their top prospect. He's always been one of the top prospects in all of baseball. And, you know, it's funny that, you know, Aaron Judge was a big maybe whether or not he was even going to make the Yankees lineup coming out of spring training. And Bellinger was sent down to AAA after spring training, and that's where he started the season. And had it not been for an injury or a couple of injuries to the Dodgers lineup, I don't know if Bellinger would even be there right now. And now he's leading the National League in home runs, and you would find it a hard time leaving him off of the National League All-Star team. I don't know if he has the votes to get there, but you'd have a hard time not voting him in. He's arguably the most exciting player in the National League right now.
Finally, Craig, before I let you go, I know you are an avid New York Yankees fan. I know that some fans even chastised you for that when we were watching games at Wrigley Field last month. And I also have to tell you, too, that my good friend, the head coach of the U of R women's basketball team, Dave Taylor, he sent me a text yesterday saying, where is all the Red Sox chatter? Red Sox equal ratings. Now, I know the Red Sox and Yankees are fighting for first in the American League East. Just your thoughts on that battle right now?
Unfortunately, I think the Yankees are winning right now against the Angels. I don't know if the Yankees have the staying power that the Boston Red Sox do this season, and Boston just yesterday took over top spot in that division. I do think it pains me to say this, but I do think the Red Sox have the better team. I think they have the better pitching staff, better bullpen. And, as exciting as Aaron Judge has been and Gary Sanchez has been with the Yankees, I do think that Boston does have a better lineup.
Well, if the Red Sox are anything like Dave, they'll be successful in the regular season and then go out in the playoffs. That hurt. Sorry, Dave. You knew that one was coming, though. All right, Craig, thanks a lot, and we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, Mitch.
All right, Craig Slater, our baseball insider on the Wheat and Kia Hotline. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, Ryder defensive back Ed Gainey. Had a chance to talk to him yesterday, and we'll play that for you when we get back. You are listening to The Sports Cage on 620 CKRM and the 620 CKRM app. The RMP Sports Cage Sports Ticker. The NHL awards get handed out tonight in Vegas. All eyes will be on the Hart Trophy for the league's MVP. It's expected to be a tight race between Edmonton captain Connor McDavid and Pittsburgh Sidney Crosby. We'll also find out tonight who the Vegas Golden Knights have taken in the expansion draft. The league's 31st team has filled their lineup in a draft that could allow Vegas' first major pro sports franchise to build a competitive team quickly. The Golden Knights start play in the upcoming season. There are some rumors and reports coming out, nothing confirmed yet, but looks like Alexi Emelin's going to the Golden Knights. Looks like Jonathan Marchessault and Riley Smith are going to the Knights. So some reports starting to trickle in as to who is going to the NHL's newest team. And the Toronto Blue Jays are in action tonight as they continue a four-game series at Texas. The team split the first two games. Texas prevailed 5-0 last night. Joe Biagini gets the start tonight for the Jays. The RMP Sports Cage Sports Ticker brought to you by Regina Motor Products, home of the no car crap BS. Didn't come on the Prairie Mobile text line. Came to my private feed from the head coach of the University of Regina Cougar women's basketball team, the one, the only, Dave Taylor. He says, Slater's a smart guy, ignoring the cheap shot. Had to be done. There might be no better sports personality in this town than one Dave Taylor. And there are a lot of good ones, but Dave Taylor is one of the best, and he's an all-around good schmuck. Ed Gainey, he's an all-around good schmuck, too. And yesterday, I had a chance to catch up with him before the Riders left for Montreal.
Ed, the excitement of a new season, does it ever get old?
Oh, never, man. The minute it gets old, I won't be out here.
What's the best thing about starting a new season up?
Everything's fresh. Just being able to get out there and prove to people that, you know, you can be consistent year in and year out. Just getting out there with your teammates, your new teammates, and getting that family atmosphere with the team, and basically just going out there and making plays. And I just thank God for it all, you know.
Last year, this was a team that was sort of getting its feet underneath it, trying to build those building blocks. They had some ups and downs, but I think as you head into the start of the season this year, you know you're in a lot more solid footing than what you were last.
Yeah, for sure. We got a lot of familiar faces around here. Guys has been around each other last year. Even before the season this year, guys were up for a few months early, a couple weeks early. So, you know, we've been able to build that off-the-field relationship. So, like, that's really a big thing for us.
Talk about this defense. It looks to maybe be a little bit faster than it was last year. Do you see that or not?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Our whole philosophy on defense is to sprint. So, you know, whenever that ball declares itself, all 12 hats are going to be to that football. We're going to fly around and make some big hits and make some big plays.
Some are concerned about the fact you gave up 36 in BC, but you didn't give up those 36 with the ones on the field. So that really, I don't think, plays a lot going into this game, does it?
You know, every week is a new week. So the better team that comes out there on that field that day, that they're going to be the ones who, you know, come out victorious. Just as long as we just focus on limiting big plays, limiting turnovers on offense, creating turnovers on defense, you know, and we show up to play, then we should be fine.
You have played against Darian Durant. You've played with Darian Durant. You know what he brings to the table. What's the one thing you have to do when it comes to him?
Just preparation before the game. You know, just getting keys off of him and the O-line, and you know whether it's going to be run or pass, and you know just being savvy. You know, because he's a savvy guy. So if we show our cards early, then he'll know exactly what to do. So we just gotta do good in our disguises, and when we do run our defenses, just make sure we're crisp and all of that.
He's been around for so long. Can he be rattled?
I mean, I believe anybody can be rattled. So, you know, we're going to do our best.
Two teams that won 5 games last year starting off the season. Obviously, it's a big one for both to get that confidence going. It's going to be a little bit more than just game one of the season, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. You know, we got 2 of their quarterbacks that played there last year, so I'm pretty sure those guys are eager to get out there and make some plays. Along with myself, Mike Edom, you know, we got a lot of guys who used to play there. So, you know, we're not going to make it that kind of game, but, you know, just going to get out there and make sure that we're going to do what we can for our team. And like Coach Jones was saying, it's been a few years since this Balls Club went in there in Montreal and won a game. So we're going to look to break that right there.
Ed, thanks a lot.
Appreciate it.
Truly yesterday, and I promised this before the second hour was up, here's what Chris Jones had to say today when meeting reporters in Montreal.
Well, we've got an awful good, you know, group of guys. I think the character and the makeup of the football team seems very strong, and the determination is there. They play extremely fast, and I think most of all they have fun around each other.
Why is it going to be different this year, perhaps, than it was last season?
Well, I mean, again, we don't have any guarantees. I mean, all I can guarantee is we're going to go out there and work hard and play as hard as we possibly can, and again, it's all up to the players on the field and to go out and just execute and have fun and win games. I mean, that's all we can guarantee.
What was the biggest thing do you think had to change from 16 to coming into 2017?
Well, I mean, it's hard. I don't ever like comparing teams. I mean, you know, every team is a different team every year. Even if you win the Grey Cup, you come back and it's a different football team. So all I can tell you is that we've got a solid group of characters in that room, and they really enjoy being around each other, and we're going to play hard.
Do you feel more comfortable with the personnel you have right now compared to a year ago?
I think we've got a little more leadership. You know, I think just simply because we've got a few more veterans than we had a year ago. Adding Peter Diakowski certainly helped our offensive line, solidified it a little bit. At least with veteran presence and getting Labatt back, hopefully we can, you know, keep everybody healthy. And you know, with that aspect, I feel like we can keep our quarterback protected. And anytime you keep your quarterback protected a little better, then you got a shot.
Does Kevin Glenn not get enough respect for a 6th all-time leading passer in the CFL, or 7th, whatever he is?
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's a guy that's, you know, you don't play as long as he's played without being an outstanding football player, because he's had a lot of chances, you know, 17 opportunities to get cut, and he's made it every year. So, I mean, there's a reason why he's 7th all-time.
Is the only thing missing for him a Grey Cup, and then he'd be, like, a great?
Well, I mean, you'd have to ask Kevin. I mean, you know, he's had a great career. I mean, we've gone against each other a long time, and he's carried some football teams in different locations on his back. And, you know, so it's just a matter now, just, you know, Kevin be Kevin, and just go out and do what he's capable of doing, and that's lead our football team.
Do you feel more comfortable with him as your quarterback than you did with Darian Durant?
You know, Darian's a great quarterback. I mean, again, you can't take anything away from what he did. I mean, they're separate guys. I mean, they're their own people, and I just know that Kevin's he's a good leader, and, you know, not that Darian's not a good leader, because he's a good leader as well, and, you know, we wish him nothing but the best except when we play.
I know it's in the past. Do you want to say anything today about the remotely successful quote?
What's that now?
The moderately successful
quote? No, I think we've gone there. I mean, I think, you know, it's been exhausted. You know, people have talked about it. I mean, he's you know, he's a good quarterback, and he's been around a long time, just like KG, and, you know, it's going to be interesting to see them go head-to-head tomorrow.
Chris Jones with his thoughts going into tomorrow's game in Montreal. We will take a break. When we come back, we will go to Toronto. We will hear from Jim Clubber Lang, as we always do on Wednesday. And we've also got a chat with Regina Pats forward Nick Henry. Nick Henry and Jake Lecition expected to go and wrote the third round of the NHL draft on Saturday. And earlier this afternoon, I had a chance to catch up to Henry at his home in Portage La Prairie, Manitoba. So we'll bring that to you in the final half hour. 2 hours in the books, 30 minutes to go. News is next. You're listening to the Sports Cage on 620 CKRM and the 620 CKRM app. And that was before the bogus pass interference call on Justin Cox. I went off that afternoon. My phone literally exploded after that rant, which happened on Labor Day last year. Good evening, Saskatchewan. Welcome to Saskatchewan's number one sports show, The Sports Cage, or maybe the number four show when I'm hosting it. Mitchell Blair in with you, Rod Peterson in Montreal. You heard from Rod in hour one of this program as we broke down tomorrow night's game between the Riders and the Alouettes. However you may be listening, wherever you are listening, thank you very much for tuning in. A lot of people in town for the Farm Progress Show. Apparently, WWE champ Brock Lesnar is here. Now, he had some pictures taken down there today. I said to Brock, you and Mrs. Lesnar, you are more than welcome to come down for a cage visit. If that happened, it still could happen. We might not go off the air tonight with this show, but I do not believe that Mr. Lesnar is coming. I will not be upset about that, though, because I will not trash talk one Mr. Brock Lesnar, or else he will squash me like a bug on a windshield. Tomorrow night, on the Mighty 620, it will be the Riders and the Montreal Alouettes. Our pregame show starts at 2:30. The kickoff at 5:30 with Rod and Luke. Braden Holtby, you're not complaining. If you're watching the NHL Awards, you know what I'm talking about. Let's go to the Wheat and Kia hotline. Jim Lang in Toronto. Jimbo, how are you, my good man? Long time no speak.
You know, Scruff, it's funny you mentioned Braden Holtby. When I was doing my book with Wendell Clark, he was telling stories about how he was a teammate of Braden's father, who was a goalie with the Saskatoon Blades back in the day. And everyone thought, oh, my God, what's he doing? He's doing university courses on the bus while we're driving out to Victoria. But he ended up becoming a very successful, you know, guy after his, you know, his hockey career. So he was ahead of his time, Mr. Holtby.
Yeah, and Braden Holtby, not a bad goaltender. And I knew it was going to be that way when he was playing for the Saskatoon Blades. And when he started in goal for Washington, I said, that team is going to get good very quickly. And they have. But, of course, they still just can't get over their playoff problems. NHL Awards have just started in Las Vegas, by the way. Still don't know who the Golden Knights have taken, although a lot of rumors are coming out. But we'll fill you in on that tomorrow unless we find out something before the show finishes tonight. Jimbo, I know we talk to you about the NFL every week on this show, and we will do that before the afternoon is over. You are Canada's foremost NFL expert. But I know you're also a football fan. You have to be pumped for tomorrow night as we see our first real football game since the Super Bowl collapse of the Atlanta Falcons when they were beaten by the New England Patriots as a new season starts, and you've got to be just as excited as anyone else out there.
I am. I mean, there's a lot of questions to be answered this year. I mean, you know, Calgary and Ottawa, we kind of know what they have going for them going into the season, but, I mean, you start the season with two teams with a lot to answer for. In week one, in Saskatchewan and Montreal, then the Argos have got all their questions. You know, how long will it take for Jim Popp and Mark Trestman to turn it around in Toronto? And so, yeah, this is kind of intriguing. And I always find the first few weeks in the CFL regular season, because of the short preseason or the short training camp, it's, you never really know. It's so unpredictable, and there's always crazy finishes and wild games because, A, it's for real, but, B, they're not really in mid-season shape yet. That doesn't happen until more towards the end of the summer, I usually find. So those first few weeks of the season, it's a real coin flip. You just don't know how the games are going to turn out.
Yeah, and it's always a question that people ask when it comes to the CFL season, because it is a short training camp. You do get two exhibition games, but you're trying to evaluate a lot of guys, and a lot of people say that the first 2 weeks of the season are almost like glorified exhibition games that count. I don't necessarily agree with that. But, you know, and we've talked about it before on this show, even with the National Football League, four exhibition games are too many. I don't know if two is enough, but in the CFL, it's pretty tough to have three preseason games when you only have nine teams in the league. So I don't think this problem's ever going away. But yeah, what we see tomorrow and in week one in the CFL, it's certainly not going to be textbook and what you see 6-7 weeks down the road.
No, and this is especially in the first 2 weeks in the Canadian Football League season, Scruffy. I know it's tough sometimes for fans and media, but you have to temper your expectations and don't overreact. I mean, whether it's you win big or lose big, it's an illusion the first few weeks. You talk to me in late July, early August. Now, if you're late July, now early August, you get really blown out. Now I got some big-time concern, because then you're going to really have to start looking at your personnel department and your management to find some players, some NFL camps, because maybe you need to do an airlift. But those first few weeks, there's still a lot of evaluation going on. The coaches really are still trying to figure out what they really have in their players, in their personnel, and in their playbook. I mean, they've installed all this information for the players. How much do they really know when it's for real, and how fast does it take them for really to get it down to a science?
Jim, over under BMO Field, the Ticats and the Argos in the opening week, 10,000 fans or not? Over under?
I'm going to go over.
Really?
Yeah, well, I mean,
all the Hamilton people coming?
Yeah, apparently there have been reports that there is a number of Hamilton people coming. They averaged about 16 plus last year, and the low was 12 plus. So I can't see it going below the low last year. And I tell you one thing they've done. They've gotten Jim Popp out there, who's very good with the media, and he's done a lot of the media in and around Southern Ontario, which is badly needed. And their social media, they got John Gruden, who has a history with Mark Trestman from Oakland, to do basically like a three-minute Gruden chat on their social media about the Argos and Mark Trestman and his history with him. And it's fantastic. And he's wearing an Argos hat, and he's talking to you, the fan, about what the season's going to be all about. And they are going to have to do that this year in Toronto. I mean, I look at the Toronto Star Sports right now, the star.com online. There's not one single story, not one, about the Canadian Football League, the Toronto Star.
Wow.
Now, the Toronto Sun, all the stories are written by Ted Wyman from the Winnipeg Sun or writers in Ottawa. So there's no – the only real Argos/CFL writer in Toronto is Sean Fitzgerald, and he's writing for the Athletic, the new sports website that James Myrtle has put together. But the major papers in Toronto have almost tapped out of Argo coverage. I mean, if they got someone there available, fine, but if not, so it's up to the Argos and up to the league to do it themselves. They can't really rely on local media here to help them much.
Yeah, that's sad, and that's another story for another time. But that's just, you know, many people just think the Argos should just get out of Toronto. I'm not necessarily to that point yet, but I'm getting closer and closer to it, and that's one of the reasons. And I know that the newspaper industry is dying, but and I realize that Toronto is in a market unlike any other. But you got to give them some attention. You got to show them some love, because if you don't, you're not helping anybody, including yourself.
Well, I mean, you know, Scruffy, for me, it goes beyond just the Argos and the Canadian Football League. I mean, this trickles down to CIS football,
yes,
junior football,
yes,
high school football. There is a good active youth summer football league in and around my area of where I live, and they call them the York Simcoe Bucks after the Buccaneers, and they play, it's like grade 8 to 11 age kids,
mm-hmm,
playing summer football, getting ready for the football season. So there is great football being played at all sorts of places across Canada. We see what Quebec's done in the last 15 years with their grassroots system, and it does trickle down. So
agreed.
If you lose a team, then it has ripple effects, and then you start seeing high schools deciding, well, let's just drop football. It's too expensive. There's insurance. We won't even have it in the high schools. And that's something the Canadian Football League and Football Canada in general, they have to watch that very closely.
Yep. Jim, hey, listen, before I let you go, I do have to ask you an NFL question. Last night, the three-letter TSN had their top 50 players. No surprise that Bo Levi Mitchell was named the top player in the CFL. I think he probably was on 99 of 100 ballots of number one.
Yeah.
On Monday night, the NFL, who every year does the top 100 players in the NFL, and they count them down, they will go 10 through 1. And we don't know who the top 10 are going to be as far as what their rankings are going to be, but we do know who the top 10 players are. NFL.com released them today, and we'll find out Monday night who's 10, who's 9, vice versa, and going on. The top 10 are Odell Beckham Jr., Le'Veon Bell, Tom Brady, Antonio Brown, Ezekiel Elliott, Julio Jones, Khalil Mack, Von Miller, Aaron Rodgers, and Matt Ryan. At the end of the night, Jim, when it comes to number one, is Brady the guy, or is it Aaron Rodgers, or is it Odell Beckham Jr.? Because I would say Aaron Rodgers, even though Tom Brady is Tom Brady.
Everyone wants to pick everyone else but Tom Brady. And that, it happens all the time. They're like, yeah, but he's got the system. He's got the coach. It's Tom Brady. It's beyond a shadow of a doubt. It's the longevity. It's the excellence, gear, the durability, and over and over. I mean, if I look at all the different metrics you could look at to decide who I want to be number one, football smarts, football aptitude, drive and passion to win, a commitment to the game, good team player, regular season success, postseason success. It's all 1-1-1-1-1. So how? I mean, I know everyone wants to say, well, it's maybe not Tom. Let's go. No, it's Tom Brady. He is number one.
He is, and like, I just think that Aaron Rodgers is the guy. Because Aaron Rodgers does it, and I know, yes, the argument's there that Brady does it with, you know, a cast of just ordinary Joes, not the dodgeball team that beat Globo's Gym. but
good words.
Thank you. I just think that, you know, the Packers don't have a legit NFL-caliber running back. Their O-line isn't that great. Tom Brady collectively can have fourth quarter comebacks, but he doesn't do what Aaron Rodgers does in getting last second comebacks, i.e. the Hail Marys, i.e. what he did against Dallas. And yes,
what did he do against Atlanta in the Super Bowl?
I know. But take nothing away from Tom Brady, but I just think that Aaron Rodgers is the guy.
I'm a huge Aaron Rodgers fan. Don't get me wrong, Scruffy. But DeMarcus Ware wrote something in the Players Tribune, and he talked about a game. They hit Tom Brady 20 times, 20 times, and he kept getting up and coming at them. He said, you can't intimidate him. You got to keep hitting him, but he keeps coming at you. And he keeps making plays. And he's not a physical specimen. You know, but he stands in there and takes the shots. He looks like a pretty boy, but he plays like a street gangster. At the end of the day,
that's a great analogy.
You got to give him his credit, because it doesn't matter what you say or what you do to him. If it's Ray Lewis or Ed Reed or DeMarcus Ware or Von Miller, they can keep hitting him all day long. He'll keep getting up. He may swear at you, and he'll keep making plays and throwing touchdowns. Atlanta found it out the hard way. There's no lead that's safe. He's just going to sit there and go, all right, this is how we do it. What, my receivers are a bunch of plugs and none of them are really ever going to go to the Hall of Fame? Oh, I don't care. I'm still going to win the game.
All right, Jimbo, always good talking to you. We'll do it next week. Have yourself a good night.
Okay, Scruffy.
All right, take care. Jim Lang on the Wheaton Kia Hotline. All right, when we come back, Pats forward Nick Henry. You're listening to the Sports Cage on 620 CKRM and the 620 CKRM app. Tomorrow at this time, the CFL season will be underway. The Saskatchewan Roughriders will be taking on the Montreal Alouettes in CFL action. Rod Peterson and Luke Mullender will have the call for you. Kickoff time, 5:30. The pregame show begins at 2:30. On Friday night, the NHL draft will go in Chicago. Brandon Wheat Kings forward Nolan Patrick could go first overall to the New Jersey Devils. On Saturday, they'll hold the rest of the draft. The first round will go Friday night. And on Saturday, two members of the Regina Pats are expected to go in either the late second or third round, maybe early fourth. One of them is Jake Lecicin. The other is Nick Henry. Earlier this afternoon, I caught up with Nick Henry at his home in Portageville Prairie, Manitoba.
Nick Henry on the line with me from his hometown of Portage la Prairie, Manitoba. Nick is not going to the NHL draft this weekend, but we know that Nick Henry's name is going to be heard, and he joins me on the Wheaton Kia hotline. Nick, what are your feelings as draft day approaches? It's obviously going to be one of the biggest days of your hockey life.
Yeah, for sure. It's an exciting time for my family and I, but you know, you just got to take it all in and just be happy and, you know, don't get too worked up about it all.
Every draft, mock draft I've seen, the rankings and everything, they have you going in the third round. And I'm guessing to you it doesn't matter if you go, you know, third round low, third round high, fourth round low, second. It's just a matter of the fact that you're going to get your name called and really live out that dream that so many have lived.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the biggest thing. Like, you know, you want to be drafted high. But, you know, it doesn't always matter because, you know, you want to be drafted to a team that believes in you and, you know, hopes and thinks that you can become into a good NHL player. So I think that's the biggest thing for me is hopefully a team that fits me really well.
I know, you know, obviously Saturday is going to be a day that obviously you're going to be on pins and needles, I'm guessing, right from the time you get up. How do you spend the next couple of days knowing what's ahead?
For me, I've been just kind of working out and stuff, training up for next year, you know. And I think for me, just trying to keep my mind off it, you know, it's exciting and it's hard not to think about. But I think, you know, you got to, you know, go out to the farm and help out my dad and get my mind off it. And then, you know, go to bed and wake up the next day. And then I guess it's a day closer. But, you know, that's what I'm going to do myself.
Can you keep your mind off it?
It's pretty tough, but I think I'm just, I think that's how I am. I'm not really too focused on it. I think I did everything I could this year with the Pats to, you know, give myself a chance to get drafted. So, and then I went to the combine and did all I could there in the meetings. So basically it's out of my hands and it's in the team's hands to see whoever would like to pick me and hopefully pick me.
Do you have any indication, I guess where I'm going with this is, you know, how many teams have spoken to you over the past couple of weeks, and maybe since the season came to an end, because obviously there is a lot of interest there. Your name is you know, is on the list of many teams. Have you had a lot of teams speak to you? And if so, do you have sort of any indication as to what they're thinking or not?
Really, it's just like I think you talk to the teams at the combine, and then you talk to some teams after that, you know, that have maybe a little bit of concern about something or, you know, stuff like that. And then, you know, you really – it's not, I think, for me, I just want to just take it all in stride, enjoy it all, because, you know, it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And teams, really, I don't think they're going to let you know a lot unless it's very, very close to the draft. And, you know, that's about it. But I'm not, you know, I'm excited about it all.
Those conversations you can have with teams at combines or any other places, they can be interesting. You don't have to tell me what team did it if it happened, but did anyone sort of throw you off guard with anything that was asked of you?
No, I was expecting the team to, you know, throw a weird question at me and kind of get me thinking. But, no, I think every team, all the interviews I had went really well. And, you know, they weren't the hardest questions out there.
What do you tell teams that you bring to the table? Pats fans know what you bring to the table. But what do you tell these teams you can bring as far as on ice and off ice?
I think for... start with off ice. I think that I'm a guy that shows up to the rink every day with a smile on his face. I think, you know, no matter how last night's game went, could have played good, could have played bad, win or lose, you know, I'm coming to the rink with a smile and, you know, always happy. I think that's a big thing about my character is, you know, I always have a smile on my face. And then on the ice, I think for me, I'm a gritty forward that likes to work against cycle game, play heavy down low, and I've got a good shot. And, you know, I think I have a good knack for scoring goals, so you know that's what I bring to the table.
I do have to ask you, being a Manitoba kid, would it be special for you to go to the Winnipeg Jets, or are the Jets your favorite NHL team? And if they're not, who is your favorite NHL team?
My favorite NHL team is the Pittsburgh Penguins. I've always been a big Sidney Crosby fan, but I think probably the biggest thing is, you know, I think it'd be very neat to be drafted to Winnipeg, but you know, for me, I'd be excited to go anywhere. That's not a big concern about where I go. It's just, you know, if I can go or get picked.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It doesn't matter, I'm guessing, if you're a Pittsburgh fan, an Edmonton fan, a Winnipeg fan. Certainly your allegiances will come to an end if you end up getting picked by a Chicago or a Carolina or even a Vegas or somebody. And that's just the main thing, is that getting that name drafted, getting to that first NHL training camp, and just probably achieving something that you've been dreaming of doing for quite a long time.
Yeah, that's for sure. I think, you know, a couple of years ago, I never would have thought this would happen, but I guess it hasn't happened yet. We're still hoping it'll happen, but, you know, you just got to keep working and keep moving forward.
Nick, that phone's going to ring at your place sometime on Saturday, and it will be somebody from an NHL team saying, congratulations, you're coming to the blank, welcome to the organization. What's going to go through your mind? Is there one person you think of as this day comes, whether it be a parent, a hockey coach, a minor coach, or even somebody, you know, maybe like a John Paddock? Who do you think of when you get that phone call and realize that dream of being drafted has been achieved?
I think the biggest name that'll come to my head will probably be my dad. My dad's been a huge influence to me. You know, we've kind of been through it all together, you know, and you know, he's been part of every hockey decision I've ever made in my life. So I think he's been a huge part, and also my grandpa, because, you know, he's always there to support me and, you know, help my parents or whatever we need for hockey-wise. And, you know, it'll hopefully be a really exciting day for my family.
Nick Henry, a lot of people are going to be watching the draft around here. They're pulling for you. You and Jake Lecicin, you know, both supposed to go in that third round somewhere. So the best of luck on Saturday. And as I said, whatever team gets you, haven't watched you play all year, they've got a great player in their hands. So best of luck to you on Saturday, and we'll maybe talk to you next week once we know what your future holds.
Thank you very much.
Nick Henry of the Regina Pats, and as I said, Jake Lecicin, Nick Henry, both supposed to go, slated to go in the third round. Bob McKenzie from TSN, his draft rankings yesterday, had Lecicin at 61 and Nick Henry at 73. The expansion draft has started. We're starting to find out some of the players. Calvin Pickard goes from Colorado to Vegas, and Lucas Abiza, the defenseman, goes from Vancouver. John Merrill goes from New Jersey, so those three players, they're already with a better team than the guys they were with. All right, that is it for today. The show brought to you by Mako. Tomorrow, no show, obviously. The reason, pretty clear. We'll have Rider football for you. Riley Pollack, great job pushing the buttons, making me sound good. Still got a long ways to go on that, though, kid. For all my guests, thank you very much for being a part of the show, and thank you, Saskatchewan, for being a part of the show. Football tomorrow right here. Pregame show 2:30, kickoff 5:30. Four Seasons Football Friday with Rod and Luke on Friday. That's it for the Sports Cage for today. Have yourselves a great night, Saskatchewan. You've been listening to the Sports Cage on 620 CKRM and the 620 CKRM app.